Well, we're ready now to listen to someone that's going to share their thoughts. You know, we don't look for big speakers here. You know, we're not trained speakers. Everybody just talks from their heart. And and we're not lectured on how we should talk or anything like that. It's just, again, everyone just talking from their heart. And the young lady that's going to share her thoughts with us tonight, I don't want to tell anything on her that would be, but I do need to tell you this. I hope she's not listening. She runs around with a whole pack of handsome men and fancy cars all over the United States and Europe. Now, I shouldn't tell that because she's going to stand up here and look really sweet and innocent. But, honey, she does. Oh, I see some people looking really sad about it. Don't be sad. She's having a good time. Don't be sad about it. She's having a good time. No, this is a young lady that you're going to definitely fall in love with, and she does run around with men, but that's okay. You know, she probably, well, I don't know what that reason is that she does that, but she does. And I think they're all pretty nice and young and healthy and happy, I think. And that keeps her nice and young and healthy and happy. And I love her dearly, and you're going to love her dearly, too. And this is our Trish. She just moved down. Wow. Oh, honey. Oh.
Thank you.
Sunflowers. You know, the sunflowers are the flower of the religion called spiritualism because they have 365 seeds.
Oh.
And they grow as tall as a man, like close to 6 foot, and then he follows the sun across the sky as a man when he's young. He's old. And then he gets old and that's what they do. Our sunflowers. Thank you, Vinny.
You're welcome. Thank you. Okay. Well, that's not a hard introduction to live up to at all. Okay. So when I agreed to do this talk tonight, I asked Millie, what should I talk about? And she said, honey, just talk about love and how you came to find this church and how you came to move here. So that's what I'm going to do. So it's kind of funny how things work. A few months ago, when I was still living up in Orange County, I came up with an idea for a book. I was going to call it Finding Home, Journeys Back to God. Okay, it was going to include my story, but it was also going to include stories for people that I knew that were like me. They were searching for something more. People who were either in the midst of finding or who had already found their way back to God. So I thought about it and I started jotting down some notes to write like an introduction. And I'm going to share with you a little bit in a minute what I wrote. But I didn't really feel at the time that I had the ability to take that idea to the next level, to what I had originally envisioned it to be. I was thinking, seriously, who do I think I am to even consider writing a book that could possibly affect people's lives? And I know that some of the stories I wanted to share had that potential to affect people's lives. So it was something that my heart, I wanted to do it, but I lacked the self-confidence and I lacked the knowing that it was okay for me to take on this project. So I shelved it. So, and at the time, my energy was at such a low level, there were days I literally could not get out of bed. I was just stuck in this downward spiral and I just, it wasn't something that was going to happen then. I just couldn't do it. I wanted to, my aspirations were to be an author, but at the time I just didn't have the energy to do more than come up with the title. So shortly after I moved to San Diego, Jody and I went to Panera to have some lunch and to write. That was what we were going to do. And I actually did, at that time, write the introduction to my book. So I'm going to share it with you. Okay. I believe that when we come to this earth plane, we know God. But the longer we're here, the older we get, the more we forget. That's not always the case, but it happens more often than not. The cultures we grow up in are often influenced by the religion of the region, and those religions in turn influence us. Some religions teach us to fear God, while others teach us to love God. Some families choose neither. They choose to teach their children that there is no God. Our upbringing greatly affects our thoughts and feelings toward God. Growing up in a small farming community, we were surrounded by a variety of churches. There were less than 200 people in the town I grew up in, but we had three churches. We had a Catholic church, a Lutheran church, and a Baptist church. And yet my parents still chose to go to another town for a church. Anyway, and even then, they only chose to go on Christmas and Easter. So we didn't really do church a whole lot when I was growing up. Both of my sisters converted to Catholicism in order to marry into the faith as they got older. But I, on the other hand, I never found what I was looking for at a church, at least not until recently. So with my less than perfect spiritual upbringing, I wandered through life intuitively following a path that just led me back to here, to knowing God. I was always open to walking through doors that, while not necessarily leading to where I thought I wanted to go, they led me to where I needed to go. And through this journey, I have finally found my way home. Home is not where I sleep at night. Home is not where I eat my meals. Home is this small spiritual church where I rediscovered my connection to God. Home is the family I found through this church. I'm blessed to have finally found like-minded people who support my search for answers. The answers I need in order to develop into the person I want to become. My journey has been a long and winding road that has taken me across the globe. It was a journey that I needed to make. No one person's journey is the same as another's. No one person's journey is better than another's. My hope is that you'll connect with something in one of the stories told here that will help you take the steps you need to find your way home. So that was the intro I wrote. Learned a few things since then. And I don't have any other stories yet to share with you. So now I'm going to share parts of my story. And my hope is that there's something in my story that will touch at least one of you. And it touch you in such a way that you're inspired to seek your path home. So I have lived in many places in my life. My family used to joke that they needed an entire address book just for me. They weren't far off. But now I realize that those places where I lived were simply places. Okay, they were an illusion of home. So my guess is, like me, many of you have heard the phrase, home is where the heart is. And it's funny, actually. I can't tell you how many times I have spouted those words. But it wasn't until I was jotting down ideas for this talk that I really, really thought about what those words meant. I was still equating home to a place, something external. A very special person here at church has helped me to understand that God is home, and that since God is in all of us, we're already home. We just need to follow the path that leads us to knowing that we're all part of God, and as such, we're never alone. That wasn't necessarily easy for me to get my head around, but I'm getting there. And that's something new that I've learned since I wrote the introduction to my book. I'm still learning. I'm still making progress. I'm still on my journey. So, back to that small town. I grew up near St. Louis in a stereotypical Midwestern family. I had two sisters, a brother, mom stayed home, dad worked construction. Everybody was happy, except for me. I never really felt like I belonged there. I always felt like I needed to go. I needed to see more of the world. I guess even early on, my heart knew that there was someplace else I needed to be. I got married young, and I had my son right away. My ex was in the Army, so we moved around a little bit before we landed in Orange County. We lived there for 15 years, and I made some amazing friends, and I worked in the travel industry, so I literally got to travel around the world. I was really blessed. After my divorce, I started working in auto racing. Millie was talking about all those cute guys I run around with. So I had to move to Indianapolis for work. So that portion of my life, there were some major ups and downs, and I thought I'd share a couple of them with you. On the upside, my son followed me to Indianapolis, and he eventually gave me my gorgeous granddaughter. She is the love of my life. I finished my undergrad and my postgrad work, and I was part of Tony Kanaan's team the year he won the Indianapolis 500. So I have been in the winner's circle at Indy. There's also a lot of really very cool once-in-a-lifetime experiences that I could add here. Okay? Just a couple. Mario Andretti served me a glass of wine. Emerson Fittipaldi took me for a lap around the Miami track in a GT40. That was fun. A little scary, but fun. And I actually got to fly over the Gold Coast of Australia in a Navy Sea King. So there were tons more fun stuff. I really, really did get to do a lot of fun stuff. And I still do. And I really do thank God for all the opportunities that he's given me. But there also were a few not so good times when I lived in Indy. And there were three really big ones for me. Two of the drivers I worked with died in racing accidents. Paul died at the season opener in 2006 in Miami. And then 5 years later, Daniel died at the season finale, 2011, in Las Vegas. I had a really hard time dealing with their deaths. And I wanted to leave Indy at that point and just never look back, but I didn't. I was supposed to. I even sold my furniture. I was getting ready to go, and I asked them, I'm like, guys, I don't want to move. I don't want to leave my granddaughter. What do I do? 2 days later, I got a phone call from a race team. They needed help, and I stayed. Now I talk to them all the time, and I didn't really even at the time realize what I was doing. I just in my heart, it's like I knew that there was something that they could hear me and that they could help me. So I asked them, and they did. So there was an even bigger one. Imagine that. After losing two of my best friends, there was an even bigger one. In 2014, I was diagnosed with lung cancer. Okay, you want to talk about a God story? The driver I was working with at the time was a test driver for Sauber's Formula One team. She'd really close to hitting the big times. We had taken some guests, some sponsors of hers, over to the Long Beach Grand Prix. And then we flew directly from there to New York City for the auto show and for a dinner with Pirelli tires. So coast to coast, we were gone for a couple weeks. By the time I finally got back to Indy, I had pneumonia. So who would have thought pneumonia was a blessing? It was. The follow-up x-ray from my pneumonia showed a spot on my lungs. Okay. We caught the cancer so early that I didn't even need to have chemo or radiation. I just had to have the surgery to have it removed. And I know what you're thinking. How does getting cancer play into getting me here? Because that's what Millie told me to talk about. I'm working on it. God really does have a plan. I'm convinced of it. Even more so now. After my lung surgery, I couldn't handle the weather in Indianapolis anymore. The humidity made it so hard for me to breathe. That's where my job was. What was I going to do? Miraculously, or so I thought at the time, I got a job offer that required me to move back to Orange County. Was it a coincidence? I don't think so. Anyway, what happened then is where we get going here. I reconnected with some of my old friends, and one of them belonged to this church, and one of them introduced me to Millie's classes. I knew that very first night that this was right for me, that this is where I belonged. It still took me another year and a half to finally make the move. And Millie asking, honey, when are you going to move down here? I finally made it. So as I said earlier, I've gone through my life following my gut. Didn't really understand why. I never had a real path. I just always went around saying, I'm not worried. Universe is going to take care of me. Sometimes I didn't exactly like the way it took care of me, like day 10 of my post-op hospital stay, but that's okay. It's all those things needed to happen in order for me to get here, in order for me to get home. As much as I wish that I could have found this church and my new friends sooner, I know now that it was meant to happen the way it did. I wasn't meant to be here until I actually got here. I came to realize that I probably wasn't ready before this. It probably took me longer than maybe it took you, but that was the way it was supposed to work for me. Now, I understand that my job is to trust the process and to know that when the time is right, I'll be shown the way to where I need to be. I need to trust in God and know that His plan is right, even when it doesn't always feel that way. Remember what Millie says, God is love, and I know that now. I can't say it enough. This church and you people have taught me the truth in that statement. I've also learned that I am worthy. We all are. How can we not be? We're all part of God. Always remember that. Now, when I start to doubt myself, I try to take a step back and remember three things. And that's what I want to share with you here. One, God has a plan for me, and I need to trust in Him and remember that everything happens in divine order. Two, I'm part of God, therefore I am worthy. And three, God is love. So it's my job to spread love wherever I go. And I love you guys, and I know you love me too. And I want to thank you all so much for helping me find my way home.